Morning, everyone. Today's Bible reading will be from Daniel 2, verses 1 to 23, which will be on the the text will be on your screens. So, in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I've had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologer answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dreams and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honour. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream and I'll know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among the humans." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put wise men to death, and the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we have asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king."
Well, good morning. It's my pleasure to have this opportunity to bring God's word to you this morning. It's a bit of a different format, but it is great that we can still gather as God's people in this very unique time. My name's Paul Kupke. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at this church. And it's great to be able to have you with us in particular. Now, for those who know me, this shirt might need a little bit of explanation. We have a young man in our church by the name of Kwame, who's from Ghana. He's part of our community. He went home and bought back a lot of these for our staff members. I thought today it would make sense to wear this to represent the diversity in our community and also our community's generosity and add a bit of colour to the live feed as well. Just a reminder that our format is a bit different today, so you don't have the opportunity to ask me questions as you might after church. And so the SMS number will be up on your screen if you want to ask a question, and we'll have a brief Q&A time after the sermon where we can answer a couple of those questions perhaps. For now, feel free to open your Bibles up to Daniel chapter 2 and we can pray. Father, we find ourselves this morning as a scattered and limited people. Very unusual circumstances, and we recognize in the midst of all of that, that you are the living God. Please send your Spirit to us into each of our homes, into each of the areas where we gather, that you would speak to us this morning, that you would equip us to live faithfully in these times and bring you glory as we do. Amen. Do you ever have trouble sleeping at night? Where you lay awake in bed for what feels like hours with all sorts of ideas churning over in your mind. One of the ways that I know that I'm getting stressed is if I begin to wake up earlier and earlier in the morning. And to be honest, it's been one of those weeks. As I've thought about our world, and particularly this community here and the changes that we've been putting in place for this Sunday and for our other ministries, there's certainly lots of different things to have on our minds at the moment, and my mind struggles to stop. Now, there's a lot of reasons to lose sleep at the moment. The most obvious one is health, but there's also many others. The loss of work, money, community, rapid change, all those things threaten and unnerve us. Solid things seem to have evaporated really quickly. And then the news, and perhaps especially social media, has a constant source of information, some of which is far more useful than the rest. There's lots to be concerned about. It's a wonder we can sleep at all. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar in our Bible reading today was the greatest king in the known world. He had enormous power and wealth. He was popular, respected, feared, and had just won numerous military battles. His word was never questioned. If anyone should be able to sleep, it was him. And yet he lies awake, troubled, anxious, insecure. Many of us have been there, haven't we? There's another character, though, Daniel, in this story, who seems to know how to sleep at night. What does he know that Nebuchadnezzar doesn't? What does he know that we don't know? The book of Daniel, it seems to be filled with all these great stories, and yet it's easy to forget that that actually spans 70 years of Daniel's life. What we see is more highlight moments of very significant times in that life where his faithfulness to God has been tested and has been on display to the world around him. The rest of it may have looked very mundane and normal as he lived out faithfulness, but these very highlight moments are what we get to glimpse in terms of his life. As we join together this morning, don't we find ourselves in one of those times? One of those highlight moments in the span of your years that carries great significance for your faith. When your faith's existence will show up most clearly to yourself and to those around you. I think that's where we are. So what do we do with the sleeplessness and the anxiety about what is going on in our world and the news that we see? Where is it that we turn in a time like this? This passage we have here today was an accident of planning from late last year. And yet I'm not convinced that it's an accident at all. Because this morning we're reminded of exactly what we need to hear, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not. Our big idea this morning is that even in anxious times, we can rest secure because of the God who sets times and seasons and kingdoms and world events. So let's have a look at this very key moment in Daniel's life and allow it to guide us in the circumstances that we find ourselves in at this challenging time. First thing for us to notice then is that Nebuchadnezzar has nowhere to turn. He is filled with anxiety, and that leads him to set impossible expectations. I invite you to read along with me with in chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I've had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I've firmly decided. If you do not tell me my dream, what my dream was, and interpret it, I'll have you cut to pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you will tell me the dream and explain it, you'll receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Nebuchadnezzar's a religious guy. He takes this dream very seriously, as if it's a revelation from the gods. And he's clearly rocked by it. He consults everyone. He has a team of specialist dream interpreters and other wise people, and they're on the royal payroll. Normally he'd tell them the dream and they would consult their books and their charts and other information and they'd give him an interpretation. But this time, however, Nebuchadnezzar is so worked up that that is not enough. The great king is no longer in control of his world. And there's some irony here. The advisors say, "O king, live forever." But that's exactly what his dream didn't show, as we find out in the second half of the chapter. It doesn't exactly inspire confidence for the interpretation. The king is no longer satisfied with empty words. He needs a reliable interpretation. He needs wisdom. In times of high anxiety, or when people don't like what's going on, frustration often attaches itself to either people or to processes. And we see plenty of that going on in Australia and around the world with the coronavirus situation. People need something to attach their fear and their anxieties too, and so they blame leaders, or they blame the consultation process, or the rollout of things that's going on, or they take out their frustration among those that are close to them. Nebuchadnezzar does the same. He attaches it to his useless advisors. So he makes them an impossible request. Have a look at verse 10. The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, no matter how great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they don't live among humans." This made the king so angry that he was furious, and he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death. The men went to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Nebuchadnezzar's desperation is palpable. He has all the wisdom of his empire at his disposal, and it's useless. It's failed him. It cannot secure his future in the face of what is coming. He lacks control. And so in his anger and in his frustration, he issues the order, kill them all. In the Bible's book of wisdom, Proverbs, it says this, "If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength?" The greatest king of the known world had nowhere to stand. His strength was exposed as being small, and it terrifies him. He can't sleep at night. And as we look at our society, at the potential impact of this crisis is huge. Many sick, choked health systems, jobs lost, stock market crash. Our great distractions of sport and entertainment and leisure have been taken away. Games cancelled. concerts cancelled, holidays cancelled. Social support structures are hit. We can't meet together like we used to anymore. We can't hug one another. We can't promise one another that everything is going to be okay. Lives built for comfort and ease cannot handle it. Panic sets in. People stockpile and hoard. Self-interest is everywhere. And we could easily ask the question of our society, where is your strength in this time of trouble? Now, of course, we can ask that same question of ourselves. All those society pressures affect us as well. This is my first time preaching to an empty room, and I miss you guys. It's far nicer to have you here. We're exposed, and it's easy for us to feel out of control. Some of us are likely to get sick, perhaps very sick. Some of us will be isolated, some financially impacted. Where are we to stand? Nebuchadnezzar had nowhere to go. Do we? Where is our strength in this time of trouble? Is it small? It's helpful for us to recognize the contrast as it enters this story, because Daniel knows where to turn. Unlike Nebuchadnezzar, who has nowhere to turn and he's filled with anxiety, Daniel acts with wisdom, tact, and prayerful expectation. Have a look at verse 14. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret his dream for him. Now, Daniel's immediate situation is bleaker than Nebuchadnezzar's. He could easily have panicked. "God, what are you doing with me? Are you toying with me? You have me picked up and forcibly taken out of my homeland, and yet you spare my life. I took a step of faith and I trusted you with that vegetable thing, and now I'm condemned to die with the rest of the people who don't care about you at all." But Daniel doesn't show signs of panic. He speaks with wisdom and tact. His confidence actually seems to bring comfort to Nebuchadnezzar, and so Nebuchadnezzar grants him time. This isn't something that points towards Daniel having one of those unflappable personalities. Rather, the suggestion in the passage is that Daniel has confidence in this God, that the God of heaven is in total control. As it was when we studied the book of Exodus a couple of years ago, it's not that our problems at this time are too big, but it's that our view of God is too small. Daniel knows where to turn. He turns in prayer to the source of all power and all wisdom, and he urges his small community of believers, like the ones gathered in our lounge rooms right now, to join him in that prayer. Look at verse 17. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Throughout the book of Daniel, it becomes clear that Daniel is an avid reader of God's word and an avid prayer in response to what he has read. His prayer echoes the prayer of Solomon hundreds of years earlier when he built the temple in Jerusalem in 1 Kings chapter 8. And it says there, if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their enemies, who took them captive and prayed towards the land you gave their ancestors, towards the city you have chosen and the temple I built for your name. Then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their plea and uphold their cause. Even when it's possible that that temple has been destroyed by the Babylonians who transplanted Daniel into their land, even when all earthly evidence of God's favor has disappeared, Daniel knows that God is not absent. His hope and his very life rests in him alone. He sleeps, and the King of Heaven reveals this mystery to him. Unlike the gods of Babylon, this God is living and active in our world. This is a unique time for us, where our faith and trust in God is evident in a far more tangible way. This year will be remembered. The peace in our lives will only be noticed by others if it is clearly not a result of our circumstances. If no other explanation is possible, that could well be us this year. Now, not having a human place to turn is uncomfortable. But where better to turn than the living God of heaven? In your sleeplessness, don't just think and worry about the future, but pray to that living God of heaven. As Daniel knew how to do. If trying to pray in the middle of the night seems to wake you up more, well then perhaps sing quietly in your mind. Don't wake the others up, but sing quietly in your mind to remind yourself the truth about who he is and how he feels about you. It is times like this that you need faith. Otherwise, faith is as worthless as a Babylonian enchanter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it makes it clear that it is through our trials that faith is proved genuine and worth more than gold. Now, that faith is not possible because we summon up our Christian willpower and dare to be Daniel. It's possible because we, like Daniel, recognize who God is. All faith has an object. If that object is your internal willpower and strength, even if you're Nebuchadnezzar, one day it'll fail you. But if that object is God, your strength in your time of trouble could never fail you, no matter what comes, because of who God is. And that is why we turn to him in prayer. And therefore, that brings us to the final thing we need to notice today. That the God of times, seasons, kings, and world events is not distant from us. See, Daniel doesn't immediately run to the king to save his skin. He instead turns to praise. And in so doing, he pulls back the curtain on the real events that are happening in that Babylonian court and in our coronavirus-threatened world today. Have a look at verse 20. And then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He disposes kings and rises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things and knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells in him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Daniel is a book about the rise and fall of kings and kingdoms. And this God of heaven oversees them all. Power, wisdom, and knowledge belong to him. that God makes himself known to us. Daniel's future, your future, and my future rests in his hands. Money, health, leisure, and good leadership are all great things, but on their own, they are powerless to affect our future, as we're discovering right now. No matter how much we want to believe that those things can, your future is held by the one who holds times and seasons and kings and world events in his hands. As one article I read last week helpfully puts it, we are all immortal until God's work for us to do here is finished. That living God hasn't left us alone, but has made his wisdom available to us in his word to guide us. You don't need a court full of Babylonian advisors or a social media feed full of the latest advice and different opinions. You need to dig into the depths of the riches of God's word. Like Daniel, storing up its treasures and allowing them to guide the way that you pray about the world, giving you wisdom you need for life in this world. If all you read in this crisis is news and the social media, you'll quickly become untethered and anxious like Nebuchadnezzar. With the extra time that God has opened up into your life, dig into this rich resource that he's given us. Not so that you can block your ears to this world and its circumstances in some kind of Christian fatalism that masquerades as faith, but rather so that you can walk faithfully in this time, reading the news, being engaged in our world, taking precautions for the good of those around you, and yet remaining unshaken by these current troubling circumstances. Noticeably distinct from the world around you, but engaged enough in it that you can answer the questions that they're asking right now. If you're not a Christian, I invite you to watch the Christians around you. If our faith doesn't positively impact the way we face this crisis and the way we respond to you, you're right to dismiss the whole thing as a waste of time. But if it does, consider the evidence that it presents for the living God and your need to be in right relationship with him. Now, it's important to realize the truth of Daniel's statement holds whether our circumstances are answered the same way as Daniel's or not. If the Babylonian wisdom in verse 11 is true and God remains distant, it would have meant certain death for Daniel. And that's not only true for Daniel, that's true for us as well. God hasn't remained distant. Rather, his Son, Jesus, left the comfort and the privilege of heaven to dwell on earth and to live among humans. His life was one of perfect wisdom, obedience and prayer to his Father. He didn't exclude himself from human hardship and suffering, but actually willingly subjected himself to it. He prayed alone, with no friends to help him out. His emotional and physical and spiritual suffering on the cross was far more than anything you will ever experience. Yet he was not delivered like Daniel, but suffered for our deliverance. That our insecurities, failures, false sources of hope and rebellion would be forgiven. That we would be welcomed into his kingdom, under his good rule and protection. For those who belong to him, the things you go through are not random and meaningless. but from the hand of God who sets times and seasons and world events. Jesus reveals to us how the God of heaven feels about us when he gave his life in the most selfless and loving act of all history. If God didn't withhold his only beloved Son for us but gave him up, why would he withhold anything that would be for our good? We can rest in him. Everything that comes, even suffering, comes for our good. That we would love worthless things that will fail us less, and love him who could never fail us more. The God of times and seasons and world events can deliver us from anything, or he can take us by the hand and lead us through. Jesus gives us the confidence that he can do that because Jesus has been through suffering and death and come back out the other side of it again. He has promised to be with us always until the day that he returns. And therefore, my encouragement to you is that you can look with confidence to the living God of heaven as your source of hope, your source of help, and your source of rest. And the psalmist captures this posture beautifully. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Daniel can comfortably slumber and sleep because the living God of heaven never does. He is the sleepless king, not because he's worried, but because he is watching over his people. He stays awake so that you don't have to. Through Jesus, he demonstrated that he is for us. Having experienced suffering himself, he can take us by the hand and lead us through whatever comes in the coming weeks and months and years. Rest in him. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the way it gives us a perspective of life in your world and turns our eyes to you as the King of heaven once more. Father, we pray that you would do that in our lives too. That you would help us to see you as the place of our confidence and our hope, because you are the King of heaven and you are not distant from us. Father, for those who are troubled by anxiety and fear this morning, we pray that you would be our comfort. For those needing wisdom to walk in this world as we know it, please give us that wisdom.